Joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, it is Danny Kelly, come a friend of the show, also host of the Ringer NFL Draft Show, Ringer Fantasy Football Guy. Danny, we have been not just leaning on your expertise leading up to the draft, but we're now leaning on to it afterward because we have a lot of guys to talk about. So I want to talk about some Seahawks, but I also want to talk about some of the big moments from the draft as a whole so you can help us kind of digest some of those and figure out what's going on. We'll start with a very simple question. I did listen to your recap show on The Ringer, and you were so eager to talk about the Seahawks. They kept putting it off. It was so cruel, so mean, but that's the first thing we're talking about since you're our guest. So what grade would you give the Seahawks draft?
I think I gave it a B-plus overall, which is better than I think normal or better than it feels like it's been lately. I like pretty much every player that they took. I know you can quibble over the decision to take a running back in the second round. I think the value there is the main question. But, like, overall, I really liked pretty much every player they took, and I like the way that they constructed their draft, basically. Looking at the premium positions, looking at important positions, I didn't feel like they were reaching on any players, which is, sort of a nice change for them. And overall, I really like their class. I think if you're going to move on from a guy like Russell Wilson and try and reset the foundation of your team, I think this was a good draft to do it. So hopefully these guys all turn out. Obviously not all of them are going to turn out, but like hopefully they do end up with a few building block pieces. And I think they may have, because I like the talent. I like, the potential for all these guys.
Danny, you mentioned, not of all of them are going to turn out, but which ones, in your opinion, are the most important that they do turn out?
I think, not to just like low-hanging fruit here, but Charles Cross, obviously, if you're picking in the top 10, you want him to turn out. I think he is the best pass blocker in this class, and I really, really liked, his feet, the way that he uses his hands, just his balance, overall body control. Like, there's a ton of potential there. He's really young. He's still 21 years old, I think, and he only played in college a couple of years. And he was a former five-star guy. So there's just, like, the potential for him to develop into an elite left tackle, and I mean, that would just answer just such a massive question for the Seahawks going forward, and kind of have helped them build, like I said, a foundation for whenever they do end up getting a new quarterback and the quarterback of the future, whether that's Drew Lock or somebody else. Having a guy like that they can depend on is super, super important. And then honestly, like looking at Abraham Lucas, like if he could turn out too, like them getting bookend tackles in the same class would just be such a massive, like coup for them to, rebuild, like I said, that foundation. This is the draft that they need to like hit it out of the park with because, they're moving up from Russell Wilson. So I just look at those two tackles, and if those guys can turn out to be like above average starters or even stars, that could potentially change the whole direction of like what this team is going. So obviously there's a lot of other, intriguing players in this draft, but like I look at what they did on the offensive line, and that has potential to like really change things for them.
Danny, Charles Cross, speaking of being young, was born November 25th, 2000. When I read that, what part of your body feels pain?
My knees, my
right,
back.
My back. Yep. Honestly, like my pride. No, so I wanted to talk about Kenneth Walker a little bit more. We're talking to him a little later today, and I agree. I feel like that, I shouldn't say old school, but kind of the common thought now is like you don't want to overreach on a running back. You want to look for guys that are far more difficult to replace in those premium positions, and that's offensive tackle, it's edge rusher, it's an outside corner. But yeah. Also, I think specifically with this team and specifically with the quarterback situation they have now, I don't mind the pick overall, but if you look at the running back situation in Seattle and then you kind of compare it with the way the rest of the league does things, how do you view their overall plan of like, all right, what if we just run this thing?
Yeah, so I think I actually didn't really mind the pick either. I think a lot of times the initial reaction is like, oh, God, they don't understand positional value whatsoever. And that's like been such a common theme for them. But to me, actually, like, second round running back isn't that big of a deal. You look around the league, some of the best running backs in the NFL are second round running backs. And I think several of them were exactly where he was taken at 41. So it doesn't bother me. It's not egregious. I'd say maybe like if you were going to quibble about like a grade, that's where you'd quibble. But like if you really look at what the Seahawks want to do, they traded their franchise quarterback, the best passer in the franchise history. That tells us a lot about like who they want to be, how they view the quarterback position, like how they want their offense to run. Obviously, like how they value basically, you know, the run game versus the pass game and the different variables that each one brings. I just keep looking back at the way that the Seahawks finished out the season last year. And to me, the biggest thing wasn't necessarily, I can't even honestly like remember how Russell Wilson played. All I remember is Rashad Penny ripping off like 30-yard runs like four or five times a game. So like I keep thinking, like, if the Seahawks want to run this offense, which they clearly do, there's no like doubt now this is the type of offense they want to run. They need to produce explosive runs on the ground. Like, that is the most crucial thing right now, because in the absence of a big-time quarterback, in the absence of a established franchise quarterback, to me, the most important thing is being able to rip off explosive runs. Obviously, that starts with the offensive line, which, again, I think they addressed that. You know, these two guys have to prove that they can Cross and Lucas have to prove that they can run, you know, run block and all that. But, you know, I think they're investing in the offensive line, and then they invested in the draft's most explosive running back. So, yeah, I think that, you know, tells you a lot of what they want to do, tells you a lot about what's important to them. And I actually believe it is important to them. Like, you can't run an NFL offense by getting 2, 3, 4 yards a pop on, you know, in the run game. And then you're putting your quarterback behind the chains. He's going to have to convert on 3rd and 7. Like, you want explosive runs. And I know Pete Carroll has talked in the past about, like, you know, if your offense gets explosive plays on any given drive, like, the odds of scoring a touchdown or scoring points on that drive go up exponentially. So, yeah, I mean, like, if you guys think back to the end of last season, like, I literally can't remember how Russell Wilson played. I'm sure he played well, but, like, all I can remember is Rashad Penny just ripping off huge runs.
That'll happen when you're getting, like, 190.
Right. So I think, like, you know, obviously now they have two explosive running backs in their offense. Rashad Penny is not going to be around probably long term. So, you know, for now, like, this is what they want to do. They want to produce explosive runs in the ground game and use that to, like, get the play action game going. I'm sure, you know, they don't want to not pass at all, but like, I think that will open up things for them. And it really kind of like makes the type of offense they want to run actually work. In other words.
Yeah. And it absolutely makes sense. And Danny, for everyone out there, again, you know, want to ask you another question about Kenneth Walker is, how big was that cliff from Breece Hall to Kenneth Walker to the next guy? Cause everybody talks about positional value, and yeah, there's still some, you know, good contributors and good quality players at running back that were there in the later rounds. But it does seem like if you're going to get somebody with that skill set of what you just said, what the Seahawks are after, that's not necessarily out there in the later part of this draft.
Right. Yeah, and if you look at some of the other guys that they could have taken or they could have, you know, I could have seen them being interested in, like Brian Robinson from Alabama, who reminds me a lot of Chris Carson. You got Isaiah Spiller, who was a poor tester. You got Damian Pierce, who ran like a 4.6 something. Like, none of these guys have the explosive factor. You know, a lot of people talk about the fungibility of running backs and all that, and I understand that, and I understand, like, the argument for, you know, how to value running backs properly. But, like, the fact is, like you said, there was a massive, massive cliff after Kenneth Walker in terms of, like, explosive runners. You reminded me of J.K. Dobbins, you know, when I was, like, doing my draft guide. And so, like, you got a guy who runs like that. You're dropping him into a system that hopefully is going to be able to create some, you know, good lanes for him, because we saw that last year, saw that starting to happen for them more in this scheme. And so, you know, you just don't really get, you can't get that that type of speed, that type of explosive. Like, if you look at Walker's stats in college, his breakaway percentage last year, which is the percentage of times you turn a 10-yard run into a 20-yard run, was like number one in the country. So, you know, again, it to me, it's all about explosive plays. And you know, obviously, if you can't do that, then that will end up looking at this as probably a wasted pick. But I do think he has the talent and the explosiveness and just the overall skill set to create those explosive plays like probably none of the other running backs that were still on the board would be able to do.
Now, Danny, staying true to Seahawk fashion, they did not go after a cornerback early. They waited until the day three to target cornerbacks, and I think they did a fantastic job on that in Kobe Bryant and Tyreek Woolen. What do you think of these two players? And if you were to guess, hey, here's a guy that I think can come in and not only compete but actually win a starting job, who would that be out of those two guys?
I think in the short term, Kobe Bryant is much more likely to actually get in the games and start playing. And, you know, he's got a lot of experience. And one other thing that I think is just so interesting is he's the Thorpe Award winner, so the best defensive back in the country. And he was playing opposite Sauce Gardner. And I think that obviously that tells you a lot about like how they choose that award. It's like statistic based.
Yeah.
Basically because they don't, no one, opposing teams were just not targeting Sauce Gardner. He was their lockdown guy. They were like, you know what? We're not even going to bother throwing in his direction for the most part. And so we're going to go after Kobe Bryant. And he put up a lot of ball production. You know, he was very productive in pass breakups and interceptions. He has that innate ability, I think, which is so important for corners to like know when to turn and find the football and play the football. Cause you have a lot of guys that position who are like really good athletes, really fluid movement, blah, blah, blah. They just don't know how to turn their head and find the football at the right time. It's just not like a natural feel. So he's got that feeling. You know, I think he's the type of guy that could come in and start, you know, if not right away, like pretty soon. And then I think Woolen, who I actually had ranked in my top 100, but like this is pure traits. Like he is, you know, maybe one of the most terrific athletes just in this entire draft class. But I don't think he's a complete football player right now. He's, you know, coming again from sort of a lower level of competition. He needs to, like, I think get his feet wet in the NFL and learn their Seahawks system and learn all the different techniques that they do. But like when you have a guy who's 6'4", 205 pounds, who runs a 4.26 and has like legit track speed. And by the way, he has a receiver background. He was a receiver, I think, for the first two seasons in his college career. So he has those ball skills. I think that those are the tools that you want to look for in the fifth round. And, you know, obviously I don't think he's a finished product, but it's the fifth round. These are lottery ticket type picks. So that's the type of player I think you want to target in that area and just kind of hope it works out.
Also, as you know, from having covered Pete Carroll for a while, it's like there's nothing more intriguing to Pete Carroll than just like a blessed athlete. Like just an unreal athlete. Like he will take that gamble and try it out. He is as old school as they come when it comes to like him and Brock Heward, both like, look at that guy's calves. It's just unreal. So I wanted to just squeeze in one last question. I wish we had more time with you, but I do want to talk about the draft in general. So I'll almost let you steer it. What's the number one thing? I mean, it could be Seahawks or not, but after the draft ended, you could not stop talking about with coworkers.
The Ed Marinaro, like talking to the crowd, like the guy that got stuck up on crowd on the stage and they had to give him the yank. Like literally, I don't think I've ever seen anything funnier happen in a draft like that. That was like an all time moment to me. Like, what is this guy doing? He's just like up there just chatting. It's like he ran into somebody at the grocery store. And that was like probably the most memorable moment. But, other than that, I don't know. I think obviously the quarterback thing was the big story. Like, and, you know, and it's so funny because we talked about this for like 3 months that the quarterback class isn't very good. But, you know, NFL teams are so desperate at quarterback. It's such an important position. You can get such good surplus value on these guys if they do end up being good. That teams always inevitably, like literally almost every season for 20 something years, just end up reaching on these quarterbacks, and no one did this year. I guess argue that the Steelers probably picked Kenny Pickett two rounds too early. Who knows? We'll never know that now. But you know, with every quarterback going in the third round and then Sam Howell falling to the fifth round, the thing that was shocking to me was like how off I guess everyone in the media was about this, like including me. I thought I was being hard on the quarterbacks because I had a couple guys late first round, and then I had Sam Howell and the other guy from Ole Miss, I'm blanking on his name
Corral.
Right now, but Corral, I had him like those guys are like in the 50s, and I thought I was being like super harsh, and they end up in the third round, fourth round, fifth round. You know, so I think the number one, like as a media apparatus, like we underestimated how much the NFL hated these guys, which is, I think surprising. But to me, like that was the story of the draft. It was like, wow, these guys, like the NFL really doesn't. I mean, if you look compared to like last year, like Kyle Trask and some of these other like really like mid-level like quarterback prospects went way earlier than these guys did. You know, Kellen Mond, like all these guys are going at the 2-3 turn last year, and now we got guys coming off like late third or fifth round.
Yeah, now you're watching a quarterback needy team, Pat, like Seattle, pass on Malik Willis
like
multiple times.
Yeah,
you're like, all right.
So that to me was just shocking.
Yeah,
you know, not necessarily because I like really believe in these players necessarily, but just like, I thought the NFL would be more, I guess, desperate to go get these guys. And so that was crazy.
All right. He is Danny Kelly of The Ringer. If you still need to get your draft fix, and you should, it's the most important place to start when you're trying to preview the season. Go check out The Ringer NFL Draft Show. They've got a ton of new episodes since the close of the draft. They've got day three sleepers. They've also got the teams who became contenders after the draft. Danny, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, guys.
Hear Jake and Stacy every day from 10 to 2 on 710 ESPN Seattle.